Hello, this is Vicki Goodman for IMCW, talking about the vicissitudes of life, in particular, ones that gain and loss. I'm also titling this talk, Seeing the World with Quiet Eyes. There are four pairs of these vicissitudes, also known as the eight worldly winds. They are pairs of opposites. They are pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, and fame and disrepute. These paired opposites are worldly winds because they're inevitable winds that blow in our lives, and we are all affected by them. In other words, here is the wisdom of no escape, as Pema Chodron would put it. It's also the first noble truth that the Buddha described in these lives. There is suffering, and no one escapes. There are 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. We're all subject to gain and loss, praise and blame, pleasure and pain, and fame and disrepute. They are the weave of our experiences, our loves, and our inevitable losses. We have often talked about how it is not the causes and conditions of life, but our relationship to the causes and conditions that we can focus on and skillfully affect. What is our relationship to them? How do they affect us? How do we react to these four pairs of opposites? How can we be with these eight conditions of life without our usual reactivity? In preparing this talk, as often happens, I find the teachings from the Buddha overlap. This particular teaching is concomitantly about equanimity practice, the fourth of the Brahmaviharas, or divine abodes. It's also about one of the three characteristics, that of impermanence, that all aspects of our life are in constant change. And it's also about the suffering that comes from attachment and aversion. We could say these are four ways that we grasp and four ways that we push away. These are the events that annoy, infuriate, enchant, compel, and often drive how we live. One of the parables I like here is from Billy Collins, entitled, Another Reason Why I Don't Keep a Gun in the House. It goes like this. The neighbor's dog will not stop barking. He is barking the same high, rhythmic bark that he barks every time they leave the house. They must switch him on their way out. The neighbor's dog will not stop barking. I close all the windows in the house and put on a Beethoven symphony full blast, but I can still hear him muffled under the music, barking, barking, barking. And now I see him sitting in the orchestra, his head raised confidently as if Beethoven had included a part for a barking dog. When the record finally ends, he is still barking, sitting there in the oboe section, barking. His eyes fixed on the conductor, who is entreating him with his baton, while the other musicians listen in respectful silence to the famous barking dog, Solo, that endless coda that first established Beethoven as an innovative genius. These eight vicissitudes are also in a sutta, one of the teachings from the Buddha, called The Failings of the World. This particular translation is from Tisanaro Bhikkhu. It's a bit dense, but there's a lesson in here for all of us. It goes like this. For an uninstructed, run-of-the-mill person, there arise gain, loss, status, disgrace, censure, praise, pleasure, and pain. For the well-instructed disciple of the noble ones, there also arise gain, loss, status, disgrace, censure, praise, pleasure, and pain. So what difference, what distinction, what distinguishing factor is there between the well-instructed disciple of the noble ones and the uninstructed run-of-the-mill person? The Blessed One answered this: gain arises for an uninstructed run-of-the-mill person. He does not reflect, gain has arisen for me. It is inconstant, stressful, and subject to change. He does not discern it as it actually is. His mind remains consumed with the gain. His mind remains consumed with the loss. He welcomes the arisen gain and rebels against the arisen loss. And this is true for the other three pairs of opposites. Now, gain arises for a well-instructed disciple of the noble ones. He reflects, gain has arisen for me. It is inconstant, stressful, and subject to change. His mind does not remain consumed with the gain. His mind does not remain consumed with the loss. As he thus abandons welcoming and rebelling, he is released from birth, aging, and death, from sorrows, lamentations, pain, distresses, and despairs. He is released, I tell you, from suffering and stress. These conditions among human beings are inconstant, impermanent, subject to change. Knowing this, the wise person, mindful, ponders these changing conditions. Desirable things don't charm the mind. Undesirable ones bring no resistance. So, operationalizing, if you will, the Buddha's teaching here, we take delight in having money and material possessions, then are disappointed, upset, and angry when we lose our possessions or don't get them. It's the same as winning and losing. Our economic system inculcates institutional greed, hatred, and delusion. With mindfulness, we can see how the mood changes with gains and losses, our sense of prosperity, self-esteem, entitlement, and privilege. There's loss and gain when we have a child, when that child goes away, when we feel our aging, the loss of a relationship. And as I've reflected on losses in my life, there's inevitably a gain that comes out of those losses. It's the interconnectedness of the web of these lives. I remember when my first daughter was born, the added responsibility and loss of some freedoms. The gain was being witness and participant with this new blossoming life, the wisdom and compassion that can bloom with aging while there is the loss of physical prowess. The death of my niece and father, and the heart opening to the pain and grief of others as I understood more profoundly about loss. Loss can open our hearts, strengthen wisdom in the truth of impermanence of all life, and be the ground for great compassion. Loss is a great teacher as it can strengthen our resilience. This is a poem from Judah Halevi called "'Tis a Fearful Thing." "'Tis a fearful thing to love what death can touch, a fearful thing to love, to hope, to dream, to be, and oh, to lose, a thing for fools this, and a holy thing to love, for your life has lived in me. Your laugh once lifted me. Your word was gift to me. To remember this brings painful joy. 'Tis a human thing, love, a holy thing to love. what death has touched. I could not talk in these times without looking at the gain and loss, or winning and losing, that has been on our national stage. Recently, there was a full-page ad in the Washington Post for Fox News with the subtitle, "Fox News beats CNN and MSNBC combined," and "Fox News beats all broadcast coverage." This winning and losing has consumed, for many of us, our attention, has consumed our lives, and hold the risk for ruling our world. We want more and more to win, and then lose sight of the bigger picture, the importance of the harmony in which we need to work together, our interdependence. Winning or prevailing becomes the utmost cause in itself, and we have seen many of our current leaders, those trained in judicious conduct, sacrifice wisdom, compassion, and equanimity to win. Earlier, I said the 8 worldly winds are also teaching on suffering and the end of suffering, impermanence and equanimity practice. I'd like to talk more about equanimity now, the way we can ride the waves of the vicissitudes of these lives, and especially at this time of great national controversy. These vicissitudes can be seen as the natural oceanic waves that constitute our lives, some big and crashing, some small or seemingly quiet water, but always moving, even if imperceptibly. Kamala Masters, a teacher in this lineage, borrowing from one of her teachers, calls this seeing the world with quiet eyes, pausing there for a moment, thinking about having that stance. Can we see the world with quiet eyes as all moves about? Kamala Masters puts it this way: spiritual practice provides ways to rest the mind before it falls into extremes. I would add, spiritual practice provides ways to rest the mind before, during, and after the mind falls into extremes. Equanimity practice is the antidote to the 8 worldly winds. It encompasses the deep understanding that all phenomena are impermanent, like the waves and calm of the ocean, that gain and loss, or winning and losing, are an integral part, in fact, the weave of these lives. Had things turned out differently in this national theater, would you feel differently? Are feelings very strong? Is there attachment and aversion happening for you these days? Despair, hopefulness, gain, or loss? The profound truth is that equanimity does not depend on any conditions at all. We accept the ups and downs in this life, in others, and in ourselves as well. With quiet, open eyes, we can open to all the vicissitudes of life. In the mindfulness-based stress reduction MBSR training, it is suggested that we stand like a mountain with the comings and goings of violent storms, snow, ice, rain, wind, intense heat, freezing, and balmy sunny days. The mountain has its erosion as well as growth of life. the mountain is equanimous. Equanimity is a balance of heart and mind. Equanimity is seeing with understanding. It's often compared to grandmotherly love, deeply loving and not caught up in the dramas due to the experience of having children before. Equanimity lends itself to the longer view. It's cool and peaceful. It's balanced. Equanimity allows us to stand in the middle of it all, remaining centered in the middle of whatever is happening. Equanimity has been defined as immeasurable impartiality. Immeasurable impartiality. Sharon Salzberg says it this way: the practice of equanimity is learning deeply what it means to let go and truly connect with what is. Gil Fronsdale, another teacher in this tradition, says it like this: equanimity is one of the most sublime emotions of Buddhist practice. It is the ground for wisdom and freedom, and the protector of compassion and love. While some may think equanimity as dry neutrality or cool aloofness, mature equanimity produces a radiance and warmth of being. The Buddha described a mind filled with equanimity as abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will. The most common Pali word translated as equanimity is upekkha, meaning to look over. It refers to the equanimity that arises from the power of observation, the ability to see without being caught by what we see. When well developed, such power gives rise to a great sense of peace. Upekkha can also refer to the ease that comes from seeing a bigger picture. Colloquially in India, the word was sometimes used to mean to see with patience. We might understand this as seeing with understanding. Equanimity is the fourth of the Brahma Viharas. Those Brahma Viharas, or the heart practices, are loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And there are phrases that go with the equanimity practice. And as you're listening, you might close your eyes now and allow these words to settle, these phrases of equanimity practice. The first is, may we accept things just as they are. Or we might say, things are just as they are. Or we might say, may I open with great care to how things are right now. Taking a moment to accept things just as they are. Opening with great care to how things are right now. In the second phrase or collection of thoughts here, may we be undisturbed by the comings and goings of life's events. May we be undisturbed by the comings and goings of life's events. May my heart be big enough to hold the joys and sorrows without being overwhelmed. May my heart be big enough to to hold the joys and sorrows without being overwhelmed. And a third part of equanimity practice goes like this. I care for you, and your happiness does not depend upon my wishes for you. So particularly when we know somebody's suffering that is very dear to us, we might wish ourselves and them thus. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I care for you deeply, and your happiness, though, does not depend upon my wishes for you. This equanimity practice is a way for us to cope, to be able to be truthful, bear witness to these vicissitudes of life. May you be well. May you be happy and healthy.